From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 11th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today in snowy Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in an icy Somerville, Massachusetts.
Have we totally confused the world about what we do? What do you tell people when they ask you what profession you're in? Is it GIS, geospatial, location intelligence? Not even the market researchers following our industry know what to call it. What's your 30-second elevator pitch? We'll tackle this and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Get ArcGIS on your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. Download the free app from the Apple App Store. For more information, visit www.esri.com/ArcGIS for iOS.
Before we get started on this week's topic, a note about last week's podcast. Last week, we looked at and tried to make sense of concerns cited by MAPS related to documents from the FTC and Department of Commerce related to proposed regulations, in particular regulations about something called precise geolocation data or information. We raised many questions, and in response, MAPS has put together a great Q&A that addresses these issues. MAPS hosts it on its own blog and gave us permission to reprint it on the Directions Magazine site, and we'll have that link in the show notes. We encourage you to read it.
So, Adina, today we have many terms that describe our profession that we end up tripping over our words to describe what we do. I think we're a bit semantically challenged. Even the market research companies that follow our profession cannot conform to a particular convention of describing our industry. Or is it a technology sector? I don't even know what to call what we do, you know, what industry we're in, what sector we do. IDC's Dave Sonnen describes our business in terms of spatial information management. Ventana researchers Mark Smith uses the term location intelligence because they follow business intelligence and they think it's a parallel issue. Daratech uses the term GIS and geospatial, the former being more of a traditional usage, the latter based on a broader market definition. And I wanted to quote Charles Fondler, the CEO of Daratech. His definition is, quote, in our taxonomy, geospatial is a superset of traditional GIS and includes, among other things, something we call geo-enabled engineering. Geo-enabled engineering applications have location awareness built into them, and we are able to interoperate with GIS systems, unquote. That whole sentence kind of drives me crazy. We have three terms in that one sentence, geo-enabled, location awareness, and GIS, all in the same system. There's no convention to describe what we do. Last week, you posted something to All Points blog related to rebranding GIS, and it was from an individual from Bloor Research, and he pondered why GIS is not as popular as it should be. And he says, now this demographic data, quote, again, this demographic data is based on locations. We've all heard about heard a lot about location-based services and the like, which brings me to something I've been thinking about for a while, which is why GIS in particular is not as popular as it might be. What I've been wondering is whether it's because of the name. It seems to me that GIS systems are not really about geography at all. They are about locations. And for that matter, spatial analytics is not really about spaces, but about topography. Perhaps if they actually said on the tin what they are about, then people might use them. My first question is almost somewhat rhetorical. Is this any way to attract students or to our profession or CIOs to buy our solutions? We're so deep in the weeds about what we do, we can't actually describe the basics of what our technology is supposed to do. So I'll pose that first question. You could take it rhetorical or rhetorically or take it off into whatever direction you like, but we've got a problem.
Well, we do have a problem, but in many ways I think it's a good problem. The reason that we have all of those extra words is that the development of what I like to refer to as geospatial technologies has been sort of a free-for-all since the 50s or so. And everybody's been sort of glomming onto it and grabbing onto it and enhancing it and pulling it in for their specific discipline's use or their business's use. And I think that's a very healthy way for technology to evolve. And what it means is that you end up with 15 different terms for it. Maybe not so different from how some peoples who live in snowy climates have 15 different words for snow. So that's sort of why we are where we are. Is it a problem? It's a problem in that it's very hard to find that single term that people are comfortable with to try to introduce this potentially new idea to, as you suggest, students or even to your CEO. I think you're right that we do tend to get into the weeds. And if anything, we need to sort of pull back and relax our clench on these specific little disciplines and broaden it out. And you know who's done a great job with that? Google. Hmm. What are the names of their products in geospatial technology? Google Maps, Google Earth. Those are terrific names for those products, and everybody knows what they do, and nobody's had any real issues with that.
What seems to have happened is that people have latched onto a term and added onto it, or somehow agglomerated another word to what it is that they're trying to describe, and it ends up being a made-up word. And one of the words that came to my mind is geolocation. I just think, and I've used it too, and I'm going to probably stop using it. It seems like somebody needed a modifier in front of location to actually describe that location had a reference of some sort, without understanding that location already implies that. Another term is geospatially referenced. I think the term geospatially kind of already means it's referenced to a map datum, for example. There are some words out there that are just being applied, and they're redundant. They're misused. They're not exactly specific. So I've got a problem there.
I'm totally with you. And some of that, I think, comes out of well-meaning people trying to bisect some small air part off of the whole and say, this is a different chunk than this other chunk. Other of these terms came out of branding efforts, true branding efforts. And I'll go back to one that thankfully has sort of disappeared. And that was back when Bentley was announcing MicroStation Geographics. And I was actually on the team for that product for a short time. And the term that we sort of invented, I don't know if we invented it or we just took it, but we wanted to call what this product did geoengineering. It always had made me very uncomfortable because I didn't really know what it was, and it actually has other meanings. For better or worse, it sort of came and went, and we don't hear that term so much anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there are a lot of problems with product naming because they could mean one thing in this country and another thing in another country, and I remember going through an effort similar to what you did in terms of trying to find the right word that would be universally accepted, you know, worldwide, that it would make sense in one country versus another. It's a real challenge, a real issue. And some of the things that I just get hung up with is again the how we've come to make up words. And I got to go to something that you attended last week. You attended the Geodesign Summit, and I in some of our informal conversations, I asked you to describe what that is. So give me your opinion. Is that a useful term in the context of what we're trying to get to with that conference, that thing, or is it just another made-up word?
It's absolutely a made-up word, and I don't know that that's inherently a bad thing, but I think it's trying to put a name on something that, based on my last few days, seems to exist. It's a practice that seems to exist. So we've put a name on it, and one of the things that's really interesting now is that there's a handful of different definitions, and nobody seems to be too worried about which one is the best or the one that we're going to keep, but we're comfortable that we're going to be doing this thing, and we're going to call it geodesign. And I am really very okay with that. This is a new word, and it's a new idea, and this is the second year that this group of people who have come together to try to make sense of this thing called geodesign. And maybe it will live a long life, and maybe, like geoengineering, it will disappear.
Okay, fair. That's a fair assessment. So I asked for this podcast that we both come with, both prepared to describe, to have our 30-second elevator pitch and what we do. I do this thing called writing and publishing and editing and all that. So I'm going to give you my 30-second pitch that I would give to a CEO or a CIO or something like that. So here it is. I publish an online magazine on digital mapping and location technology, much like you see in Google Maps, but specifically for how professionals use this technology for urban planning or target marketing and intelligence gathering from satellites and other sensors. That's it. That's my 30-second pitch. And that's pretty close to what I usually say, because I usually add in the term digital mapping. I think people get digital mapping. And, of course, when you use the modifier Google Maps, people get it. And it goes directly to what you said before. Very simple product name. Tells you exactly what it does.
Right. And I think that that's actually a really good, succinct description. And I think what's perhaps most important about it is not so much the digital mapping part, and I typically use the term computer mapping. I think that's somehow less, it's more accessible for many people. Mm-hmm. Digital, I think, can scare some people. But what's most important about your statement is that you give specific examples of where it's used. Urban planning, mm-hmm. intelligence gathering, and so forth. That is far more important than the technology itself. So when I took up your challenge to sort of put together an elevator pitch kind of statement about what I do, I broadened it out not so much about what I do, but what the people that I write for do. The folks who read our magazine, who are in local government, or who are working for a forestry company, or who are working for a utility, or who are working for the EPA. Those are the kinds of people I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm, right.
And if they were at a GIS conference, I think they'd be very comfortable saying, well, I do GIS, right? But if they met somebody on the street, I would hope that they would say something on the order of, I use maps or mapping technology to, if you're the forestry person, to ensure that we have enough trees in the forest, right? Hmm. So it's really going to come back to what you use it for rather than what it is. And I think that all comes back to this whole issue of, is GIS a science? Is it a tool? And my argument is, if you are using it in a job, it's a tool. Because mm-hmm. it's not the end in itself. You're actually trying to do something with it. You're trying to achieve some goal or make some decision. And people are far more interested in that than they are about the weeds of, well, I'm using digital data and I collect it from GPS devices and all that stuff. That's not interesting. What is interesting is, hey, at the end of the process, you're going to have a map of all the old cemeteries in the county. That's interesting.
Right.
And that's important.
Right. You use the term geographic information science, and that term comes up relatively easy in academic circles. Is that an accurate term? Is it a term that we can apply and use specifically to a discipline?
It's always concerned me only because I think I ran into the term geographic information system first, and I felt like that the science, somebody kind of pulled a fast one and stuck science on the end.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I do know that there's an awful lot of science going on. That science related to modeling, science related to new connections that we hadn't seen before. So I think there is this thing called GI science, and I don't think I do it, and I think there are few places that really do it at that level. But I think it does exist, and I think it should be out there in academia.
Yeah, it always made me wonder whether this is a term more applied to spatial statistics, algorithms related to satellite imagery manipulation. I'm left grasping at what that term is, and maybe some of our listeners can grasp onto it a little bit more tightly than I can.
My understanding of it leans in that direction too, that it's sort of more about basic research in the understanding of geography. I think one of the things that, and the citation that you gave by Bloor made me really uncomfortable, that GIS isn't really about geography, that seemed odd, is that we forget that GIS is a tool of geography. And from an academic standpoint, one of the things that I think is important to make sure that students understand is that geography and GIS are related. And if I had to put together sort of a statement, if not a really sexy pitch, for what GIS is in the academic sense, let me try that. Geography is a way of looking at the world that takes advantage of relationships between physical objects, ideas, and concepts in the real world. GIS is the technology developed to reveal, model, understand, and take advantage of those relationships. So I think that they're really very tightly connected. And a lot of the folks who don't understand what they are don't have a comfort level with the ideas of geography, even the simple ones, like things that are close together are much more likely to be similar than things that are far apart.
Right, right. Well, I like your definition. My definition that I was going to give to a student is very similar in how to visualize information related to the world around us. I think that's a very, very succinct definition that you gave.
The other challenge I think we have is that we have this concern about separating or not separating GIS from maps. That can be a concern because maps, people know what maps are. They really do. Everybody does. Grandparents do. And once you take the word map out of the discussion, that can be a problem. So if anything, I would argue we need to put maps back in there. So I like it when I see new products coming out that have the word map in there, because that's one of the things that you're going to actually see when you interact with this product is a map. Either you're going to make the map or you're going to use the map. That's a really positive thing.
Well, I think we're going to leave it there for today. So we hope that our listeners will chime in with some of their own definitions. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that an update for the ArcGIS for iOS app is available for download from the Apple App Store. With this version of the free app, you can collect and update GIS information directly from your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch device. For more information and to download the app, visit www.esri.com/ArcGIS for iOS. A few reminders from us here at Directions. Please check out our new channels. These are our new web resources for finding news and trends related to your field of interest. Go to www.directionsmag.com/channels and bookmark it today. We have a very exciting week of webinars. Tomorrow, January 12th, is our webinar focused on exit strategies for selling your business. If you're thinking of selling a business, it will take you probably anywhere from 18 to 24 months to get it in shape. So we'll discuss strategies that help you do that. And on Thursday, January 13th, we'll interview Marissa Mayer, the former VP of Google's user experience, which means she's literally touched every product from Google that maybe you have used. But she's now the company's executive for local and location services. We'll talk to her about some new directions for Google Maps and Google Earth, location-based social networks, and more. For either event, please go to www.directionsmag.com/webinars. If you'd like to leave a comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, send us a tweet at directionsmag, or leave a comment in the comments box where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.